This is an iHeart podcast.
I have so much to talk about, from hurricanes to Republican platforms. Joe Biden's dementia will not be a main thing on the show, but Congressman Jim Jordan's here, Carol Roth is here, all that and more coming up on I'm Right. All right, first, let's get the big thing out of the way first. Where was I yesterday? I know you tuned in hoping for a fresh I'm Right on a Monday. I live in the Houston area. Maybe you've seen the news. We got blasted with a hurricane. Everyone's fine. I'm fine. Everything's fine. But we weren't allowed out on the roads. There were trees down everywhere, traffic lights out, that stay off the roads. It was all emergency first responder stuff. So we couldn't even get to the studio. But we are here and we are back. All right, so there's that. Now let's dig into all the things. One of the things we're not going to do today, and in fact, I don't think you're going to see a lot more of this on the show, is updating the latest and greatest on the Joe Biden saga, the palace intrigue drama, because there's nothing really new to update yet. Obviously, whenever there is a new legitimate story, we'll tell you. What do we know? Well, we know now the same thing we've known before. Joe Biden is cognitively, physically, he's a disaster. He's fading. He's on the back nine. Everyone knows it. Joe Biden is going to hurt Democrats down ballot. That's the only reason any of these people care now. Democrats want him out. Joe doesn't want to leave. What do you want me to come tell you? Talk about that every single day? That's the situation now. And it's going to be the situation until the final decision has been made, meaning Joe Biden decides to leave or decides to stay. So there's nothing new to update on. I want to talk about a couple other things. You know, I have a son who runs. He's a runner. This is going to come back to the Republican, you know, National Committee and their 20 points. So just stay with me. I have a son who's a runner, a pretty good one, actually. And he made state as a freshman. So I'm proud of him. Did very well. And he goes to state. And now he's competing against all these juniors and seniors. And they're just, they blow him out of the water. He did very well, but he just murdered him, just crushed him. So much faster. And I was talking to him afterwards, and there was one kid in particular. He was so fast, he just destroyed everybody else. He was so fast, he kept having to wave the pace car forward because he was catching the pace car, the car that goes in front of him to tell him where to go. And I talked to my son about this afterwards, and I said to him, you know, James, do you want to win state like that kid did? You bet I do, Dad. How bad do you want to win state? Do you think that kid woke up that morning and decided that was the morning he was going to win state, and that was the day he decided he was going to work? Or did that kid put in the work to make sure he earned state for years? I said, you want to win state your senior year? Today, it will determine whether or not you win state your senior year. We kind of had one of those talks. Don't tell me what you want. Show me what you want. Don't tell me I want to be a champion. I want to be good at something. Show me. I will know you actually want it if tomorrow morning when I wake up to get a cup of coffee, you're out there on the road putting in the work. Republicans made a bunch of headlines. They put out a 20-point plan. 20-point plan. These are the things we stand for. And there's all kinds of controversy around it. A lot of people love it. Ah, that's so good. Reduce inflation, all these things on there. A lot of people are angry with it. Why did they take out the pro-life stuff? And look, you're seeing it on the screen. You can go look it up. But as an example, I just want to point to one thing in particular. Number 19. And I could have done this with any of them, keep in mind. We just chose to do number 19. This is number 19 on the list. This is the new Republican platform. Secure our elections, including same-day voting, voter identification, paper ballots, and proof of citizenship. That's number 19, right there on the list. Okay, well, that sounds great, right? Who would have a problem with that? Isn't that awesome? That's what Republicans want. Republicans want secure elections, no cheating. And they want that. You know how we can tell they want that? Well, they told us. But I wonder, what have they done to show us? Because Republicans all say that. You've probably said it. I know I've said it. Everyone on the right says it. I want secure elections, no cheating, same-day voting. We all say it. Let's see what happened when it was time to prove that's what we wanted. Remember Dan Kelly? You remember the name? If you watch this show, you remember the name Dan Kelly. In case maybe you're a little fuzzy on the details, he was running for the Supreme Court in Wisconsin. He was going to determine whether we had a righty court or a dirty commie court. Now, it wasn't Donald Trump. It wasn't one of these super sexy elections. MAGA baby! Just little things like the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And it was going to determine how Wisconsin ran their elections. And do you remember when we talked to Scott Pressler about that race?
This is the most consequential election of 2023, Jesse. Right now I'm in Wisconsin. The current makeup of the Wisconsin Supreme Court is 4 conservatives to 3 liberals. However, one of those conservatives is retiring, meaning that if we are not successful at electing Justice Daniel Kelly on April 4th in the general spring election, then that court will flip from conservative to liberal. Now, why is this important? Because the liberals have already indicated that they're going to put their thumbs on the scale. And that means that Wisconsin, which currently has voter ID, we could lose voter ID going into 2024. We could lose proof of residency, which is required to register to vote in the state of Wisconsin. And I'll remind you that a conservative court here in Wisconsin deemed that unmanned drop boxes are illegal. Meaning, if the court flips liberal, you're going to have unmanned drop boxes on every street corner in Green Bay, Eau Claire, Milwaukee, Madison, and it's going to be an arduous uphill battle in order to win Wisconsin and the White House in 2024.
Remember that? Remember, we talked about that race extensively on this show. Scott Pressler, to his credit, talked about it. Talked about it on my radio show. And then Republicans, I mean, as part of their platform, they want election integrity. On the day when Dan Kelly, on the day he had his election, Republicans in Wisconsin, they were watching the game. They were T-ball. They had other stuff to do. Election, huh? I'm voting Trump. I don't have to show up at any other election. And of course, Dan Kelly lost. Now the communists control the Wisconsin Supreme Court. The Wisconsin Supreme Court, controlled by communists, have just got done determining that unmanned drop boxes are going to be the game they play in the 2024 election. Donald Trump very likely cannot walk into the White House without Wisconsin. You see, I don't mean to be snarky. I really, really, really don't. I'm just so incredibly tired of being told what the right wants and never, ever, ever shown what the right wants. Everyone was asking me what I thought about this platform. Hey, what do you think about these 20 points? Jesse, they took out the pro-life stuff. Jesse, what do you think about the inflation stuff? Jesse, what do you think about this, the weaponization of government stuff? What do you think about this? What do you think about that? Well, why would I care what 20 points the Republican Party put out when I don't think they have the guts or the brains to implement a single one of them? A single one of them. I don't care what's on there or what's not on there, because I'm tired of being told what the Republican Party's gonna do, what we wanna do, because they're all things they never do. They never do them. That's both the politicians and the Republican voter. When the time comes to actually make sure you're going to get election day integrity, Republican voters can't put down a six-pack and go to the polls and vote. When it comes time to end the weaponization of government, that's part of these Republican points they put in this whole thing. When it comes time to do that, Republicans in Congress, they can't grab their ankles fast enough for the various government departments. When it comes to, of course, there's all kinds of illegal immigration talk on there, mass deportation and things like that. Okay, that sounds great. Looks great as part of the platform. When it comes time to actually do something about it, Republicans are trying to give them amnesty. James Lankford and Mitch McConnell just got done like 5 minutes ago trying to amnesty millions of illegals. I hear all this talking about what you're gonna do. I don't see much doing. Now, the communists, to their credit, again, I want to give them credit for this. The communists, not only do they say what they're going to do, they intend to implement their plans. Now, their plans are all horrific, but at least I give them credit for trying to implement it. You, of course, have heard about the SAVE Act by now. What's the SAVE Act? The Republicans introduced an act that simply said, hey, these illegals can't vote in our federal elections. This is going to, hey, states, you're not going to let illegals vote in the federal elections. Now, of course, that's a very basic thing. It's a wonderful thing. And Democrats joined in unison to shoot it down. Because Democrats intend to win. They have a plan in place, too. Their plan is to burn the United States of America to ash. And they plan on implementing that plan. They don't just talk. They do. Did you think Joe Biden brought in 20 million illegals just so they could pick the strawberries? I mean, he even got caught calling them voters at one point in time.
There's a large influx. There's even a bigger influx now in terms of Hispanic voters, or Hispanic citizens who want to become citizens. So it's just enormously important.
Why do you think they brought him here? As someone said, it's not my saying. I don't know who came up with it, so I can't give them credit. I guess I might as well take credit myself. If Democrats thought those people coming over the border were going to vote Republican, you'd be able to see that wall from outer space. Of course they're going to vote in elections. Of course that was always the plan. And you know what? Credit to the communists for doing more than just talking. They're doing.
But don't worry, the Republicans have a plan.
All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We have a huge show for you here. Actually, Congressman Jim Jordan joins us next. We'll talk to him a little bit about some of this stuff before we get to him and we talk to you about culture. See, speaking of talking and not doing, you care about the culture. I know you do. And it matters to you. It bothers you that the business world, the corporate world is so disgusting now, doesn't it? Bothers me. I know it bothers you. Ah, it's in our movies, it's in our commercials. Are you doing something about it, though? Are you being purposeful with where you spend and don't spend your money? Are you complaining about Disney being woke and then traveling to Disney World this summer? Your cell phone, who do you have a cell phone with? Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile are awful companies. They hate you. They hate the country. I have Pure Talk. They love my values. They promote my values. They even hire Americans, which is a big thing for me. When I talk to someone at Pure Talk, they speak English. You know, you can switch and it's super easy. You keep your phone if you want or get a new one. They have those. Keep your number. PureTalk.com/JesseTV is where you go do that. Put your money where your morals are. We'll be back. Well, you ever hear about legislation you love, but at the same time you hate it? That's what the SAVE Act is for me, and this is what I mean. It's legislation going through the House right now that says, hey, illegals can't vote in our national election. But, man, where are we as a country that you have to have a law that says something like that? That shouldn't be like a thing, right? But that's the kind of country we live in now. Joining me now, Chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, Congressman from the great state of Ohio, Jim Jordan. Jim,
hey,
so I'm really glad we have a SAVE Act, but gosh,
yeah.
I'm really sad that we need a SAVE Act.
Yeah, we also have a law that says illegals, migrants aren't supposed to come into the country, but 10 million have done that. So this is something that you shouldn't need any type of clarification on. It is the law already, but what happens is people can get driver's license, show ID, and they can sign something when they get a license and say, oh, I'm a citizen. And then they can show up to vote and there's no validation, there's no check. That's what this bill would do. It says, no, you have to show, they have to prove that they're a citizen before they vote in a national election. Now, we know some of these left-wing local jurisdictions already let non-citizens vote in local elections, which I think is wrong, but that's a state call. But what we're saying is in federal elections, no, you can't do that. You got to show proof of citizenship before you get to vote for president, for Congress, for Senate, for federal election.
Okay. Well, we don't have to sit and pretend like Democrats want to support this. We all know their stance on the issue, right, and we all know why. But Democrats are also in a bit of a pickle right now because the president is a disaster and they're down. Rumor is they might lose 20 seats in November. So I'm asking the question this way. Is there a chance that some Democrats, some vulnerable Democrats, may have to vote yes on this thing because they're worried about losing their seat in November? Might that give us a chance?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you're going to see that. You're going to see them vote in a political fashion, particularly this close to an election. What are we, 118 days, I think, from election? So you might see that. That could happen. But I don't think the Senate will take it up. So, again, they're not going to do the right thing and make this law and send it to Joe Biden's desk because— frankly, the Democrats are the party of open borders. Democrats are the party that says, "Oh, we don't want validation or proof of citizenship when you vote." This is today's left wing. I say this all the time. Sarah Huckabee Sanders had a great line a year ago when she gave the response to the State of the Union. She said, "The divide in America today is normal versus crazy," and it is. It's crazy to let non-citizens vote in elections. It is crazy not to have a border. It is crazy to have the crazy energy policies we have. It's crazy to let boys compete against girls in sports. It's crazy to let a Chinese spy balloon fly across the country and then shoot it down. And you can just keep going. But that's today's left. And they unfortunately now control the Democrat Party. So this is just one more crazy policies. We're not for requiring citizenship from people go figure.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, the House Judiciary just released a report about the Biden administration. That wasn't surprising. It's one of those things that made my head explode as I was drinking my coffee this morning about the millions of our dollars, our tax dollars, that the government steals from us getting handed to illegals. What is in this report?
Yeah, I mean, again, one of the other crazy things that is happening under the Biden administration, your tax dollars going for migrants who come into the country, who break the law and come into the country illegally. One more crazy thing. So we got that report. We got all kinds of reports we're issuing about the goofy things you see happening in our government. But this is, I think we timed this, of course, to show that, you know, with this legislation, just how ridiculous their policies are. And I always point out, and you know this, you've talked about this, Jesse, this was all done intentionally on our border. They made a willful, deliberate, intentional decision to say, we're no longer going to build the wall. We're no longer going to have you wait in Mexico while we evaluate your claim. And when you get to the border, you will not be detained. You will be released. And so when you do that, then you start giving them money and giving them. It's no wonder people want to come. And that's the situation we're in. But I think that's going to change on Election Day when President Trump becomes a president. And he gets back in and puts in the right policies to secure our border.
Given what we've seen out of President Biden recently, from the debate to, well, really every time he shows his face in public, I can't help but want, even more than I did before, to listen to the Biden Her tapes, because, wow, those must be riveting audio. Where are we on getting our hands on those bad boys?
Well, we're in court. We actually think that we're going to win in court because we think they've waived any privilege. We don't know that there is a real privilege here. But they've asserted a privilege, presidential privilege. So we think they waived that when they gave us the full report and when they gave us the transcript of the interview that Special Counsel Hur had with Joe Biden. So we think we're going to win in court, but it takes a while. There's also a move by a colleague of mine to go with inherent contempt. Anna Paulina Luna says she will bring that up, call that up. I think you will see Republicans support that. I certainly will support it. But we think we're going to win in court. We just hope that happens relatively soon. But I don't know that the American people need anything other than what they saw 2 weeks ago or 12 days ago during that debate, where President Trump was tremendous. And, you know, the American people, I think it was like 60 million or whatever the number was at watch, it was a big number. They saw it. They heard it. They see where the president, unfortunately, the president of the United States, where he's at. And it's troubling. And I think it's why you see President Trump, in addition to his great policies and the leadership we had from him, and that we can look at his record. His performance in that debate, I thought, was just amazing. And that's why the country is so strongly now in polls supporting President Trump, in particular in the key swing states.
I'm doing the best I can not to count my chickens before November, but it does look really, really good as of right now. Tell me how much fun it is right now. Just give it to us on Capitol Hill, watching the Democrats throw poop at each other. It's just got to be magnificent to be there right now.
This is funny. I walked into the workout room this morning, and I'm coming in to work out, and there were like four Democrats over here, and they were all just sort of sitting at machines, but they were all kind of like talking. And I said, well, you guys got a little caucus going here? And one of them said to me, he goes, Jordan, I've never seen you so quiet in 6 years. And it's like, you know, I don't know that there needs to be a whole lot said. The Democrats are going all over the place. Do we keep Joe Biden? Is it Kamala Harris? Is it someone else? What are we going to do? I don't know. Polling, you know, like they had this long conversation. So we'll just see what they do. But it was, I thought, interesting that the response from them was, you've been quiet the last, you know, more than I've ever seen you. And it's like, I'm not necessarily trying to be quiet. I'm just like understanding that this is a concern the Democrats have. What we should be focused on is what's best for the country. And I know this. Mm-hmm. What is best for the country is President Trump to be our next president. That is what's best for the country.
Well, I wish I could have been there to see the Democrats gathered around the 5-pound weights in the workout room. Okay, we have Milwaukee next week. I'm not looking forward to it, as you well know. I know you tell me I should be looking forward to it, but tell me why. Why should I be excited about going to Milwaukee?
Well, there's Red Lobster somewhere in Milwaukee, I'm sure, right? You're gonna find that restaurant. You're gonna find that, and I assume I'm scheduled to go on the Jesse Kelly show sometime in Milwaukee to talk about you know, what's happening with the Republic, the platform, President Trump, what we're gonna do if we get all the House, the Senate, and the White House, and the good policies on energy, the good policies on the border, the good things we're gonna do on tax policy, regulatory policy, and how we're gonna focus on these agencies not being weaponized against the American people. We'll talk about all those things or whatever. It's your show, so whatever you want to talk about, but. That's why you got to look forward to going to Milwaukee. Heck, I bet there's great Red Lobsters, probably multiple ones around greater Milwaukee. Plus, I went to
Congressman,
school.
I will.
An hour down the road. I love the Badger State because I'm a UW grad from way back when.
Congressman, I will see you in Milwaukee next week. And yeah, we'll break bread. I will see you. Can't wait. All right. I slept good last night. You know that? We're going to get to interest rates. And after we do this, you might not sleep tonight. So allow me to just say, I slept really good last night. And it's because I had a little dream powder before bed. Hot chocolate. I just have hot chocolate every now and then. If I feel like I'm not going to sleep, long day, a lot of stress, whatever it is, little dream powder. It's all natural. You know, melatonin, things like that. Mix it in. It's just a cup of cinnamon hot chocolate. I warm up a glass of milk, mix it in there, and you just sip on it before bed. Tastes amazing. I have to try to keep my kids out of it. And then you go to sleep. But that's not the beauty of it. There are many things that can help you sleep. It's when you wake up. You see, you find something that helps you sleep, you wake up and you want to die. You feel like you have to pry your eyes open and tape them open like in the old cartoons. Not with dream powder. You wake up and feel refreshed and ready. 40% off. Go get a bag. Just try a bag. Tell me if I'm lying. Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. All right? We'll be back.
Do you think inflation was caused by corporate greed?
I hate to comment on something the chairman was speaking about.
I'll go ahead.
Well, so I will just say, we see at the Fed, we see inflation as when there's an imbalance between supply and demand. And we use our tools to work on the demand side of that and bring it back into line with supply.
I got 2 seconds. So when are you going to lower interest rates?
I'm today not going to be sending any signals about the timing of any future actions.
That's not exactly confidence inspiring, is it? I don't know. Maybe at some point in time. Joining me now, author of the book You Will Own Nothing, and of course, friend of the show and mine, Carol Roth. Carol, okay, well, when are interest rates going to go down? Carol, I was sniffing around some real estate in Florida over the weekend. I got to tell you, I just can't bring myself to pay 6-7% for anything under the sun.
Yeah, this is a crazy time, and I absolutely hate that Jerome Powell is in front of Congress and he has not started his remarks or ended them with the, I am trying to quell the demand side and I cannot do anything while you continue to run deficits that are near $1.9 trillion. I mean, he is trying to tamp down demand at the same time that the government is trying to expand demand. He explained the first part of that and has not explained the second part. He has also not said in that supply-demand equation that he mentioned that he's not put it to Congress that they should be doing things to help the supply side as well, like they could, such as having better energy policies instead of having terrible energy policies and then pulling stunts like draining our strategic reserve. So until Jerome Powell is willing to get real, I'm not sure that we're going to get a lot of headway. And in terms of when he is going to lower interest rates, on the raising side, he was behind the curve. I think he is going to be behind again when it comes to lowering them. And as I just said to you, he can't really do anything while the government's working in the opposite direction. But by keeping interest rates high and not lowering them, what he is doing is ensuring that the financing costs of our ever out of control debt, $35 trillion, now almost $2 trillion projected that needs to be financed and a lot that needs to be refinanced, is going to be financed and refinanced at higher and higher rates. And that ensures we're going to have more inflation. So if he were really looking at the real data, not the pretend data, I believe that he would be lowering interest rates immediately.
Yeah, I believe so as well. And I'm glad you brought that real estate thing up, Carol, because while he was talking about commercial real estate, here he was.
This is a risk that has been with us and will be with us for some time, probably for years. And banks need to be, you know, honestly assessing what their risk is. They need to be assured that they have the capital and the liquidity and the systems in place to manage this risk. The stress test that we apply to the largest institution stressed commercial real estate pretty hard. And again, the conclusion is that the large banks can manage this problem. And most small banks can too, but it is in some smaller banks that tend to have that local concentration in commercial real estate. And, you know, we're in touch with those banks. The supervisors and regulators are in touch with those banks and making sure that they can manage them. And it's going to be an issue for many banks, but it's one that we're trying to work through, one that we're very much aware of. And again, it'll be with us for some time.
Now, I admit I'm just one of these deranged conspiracy theorists, but I've watched these people attack small banks forever and align themselves with the big banks who happen to align themselves with the government. And I couldn't help but hear a lot of that in there, Carol, but maybe I was just hearing things. I don't want to be a cynic. What did you hear there?
Well, first of all, I heard a giant frog in his throat. It was almost like God saying, you're not telling the truth, so we're just going to put a barrier in so that you can't continue to spew these lies. But there was a lot of doublespeak out of both sides of the mouth. It's everything is fine. Everybody passed the stress test. And yeah, boy, commercial real estate's a big problem and everybody's got it on his balance sheet and they should probably do something about that. So I heard a lot of that. Certainly, we know that small business, small banks is very inconvenient for the powers that be. Everything is based on political clout and connections and having entities that are independent and serving people who think independently and are decentralized is not a good thing. When the Dodd-Frank legislation was put in place after the Great Recession financial crisis to punish the big banks that went rogue, what did it end up doing? Nothing. And those banks thrived and it put small banks out of business, fewer community bank formations, many more going out of business, and it hurt then small business lending. And lo and behold, again, I am also a conspiracy theorist, which means just being ahead on things that are likely going to happen, that to the extent that small banks, you know, continue to have trouble with the commercial real estate portfolio, which is a big likelihood. You know, who will probably end up benefiting is those big banks who, of course, will be bailed out with taxpayer money and special programs and then be able to gobble up those big or smaller banks and become bigger and make sure that we don't have the lending available for small businesses, only for big businesses. And, you know, just continue to repeat the cycle so that they can grab more power and basically crap all over Main Street.
And it's so odd that all those big banks all have ESG and DEI requirements they're implementing as rapidly as humanly possible. And that also happens to be the government policy. Man, if I was a conspiracy theorist, anyway, let's move on because you have a piece up on Fox News about Democrats setting Trump, a potential Trump presidency, up for an economic disaster? What are you talking about?
So I don't know if you caught the news. I think it was a week or two ago that there were, 16 or so Nobel Prize winning economists, which means they're really, really important, Jesse. And they signed a letter that said there is going to be a massive inflation bomb if Trump takes office. Now, hilarious, you know, that they would be going in on inflation after we've had absolute record inflation that we haven't seen in 40 years under the Biden administration. But why are they setting up this narrative that Trump is going to cause inflation? Because they see the economic woes ahead. They know the policies that have happened under Biden are ones where we're going to have sticky inflation. We were just talking about it with the Fed and the debt level and how that's going to continue to keep inflation in place, if not grow it. And we've seen that they've been window dressing growth, using deficits to make it look like the economy is growing when that's all coming from the government and taxpayers. So they're setting the scene that it's going to be an economic disaster under Trump because they know it's going to be an economic disaster either way. And they want to be able to say, I told you so, should Trump win. So be very cognizant that this is the narrative that's happening. If the Democrats somehow, you know, the senile guy wins again, which, you know, given their tactics, I'm not ruling out. You know, they'll just tell you that the economy is great. But if Trump inherits this, he's going to be very limited in what he can do in order to fix it. And it's going to take some time. They see that coming down the pike. They see that we're having slower growth, that we see the sticky inflation, and they want to leave Trump holding that bag economically. So just watch for that narrative, because should Trump win, they are going to blame him for all of Biden's reckless policies.
Carol, obviously, you and I talk about the future a lot every time you come on, but I know I get so many emails from young people starting families, wanting to start families, worried that they will legitimately never own a home, or at least maybe not till their 40s or 50s. And I hate the term I'm about to use. I'm just going to slap myself as soon as I say it, but is this the new normal, or is this just a phase? And we've seen 17% interest rates under Jimmy Carter before, but it didn't last forever. Is this going to be lasting longer than we've seen before?
Well, I feel like this is a really good topic for a book, this whole concept of you will own nothing. And I hope somebody goes and writes about it, because I think it's pretty interesting. But what I would say is I do think that we are going to have long-lasting inflation, and we're going to see assets, things like homes, things like stocks, continue to also be impacted by that inflation, which means they increase from a nominal value perspective. So if you are somebody who is young and you are frustrated, you have to really be austere in your spending, call it back, do everything you can to save as much as possible, and do what you can to try to get into a home. And that means you may be living in a different place. It may be you're finding a smaller footprint. And another thing is getting involved in local government, Jesse, because you know, part of the supply demand issue is that we don't have enough housing. We are underbuilt by millions of homes. So if you can convince those who are keeping the zoning laws and the barriers from building more housing, that is going to keep those prices up. So that's a way that you can use your voice. And by the way, I'm not saying anything that I haven't done myself. When I was out of college, I lived in a 400 square foot studio. My side table, swear to God, was a box. It was from a stereo system, a cardboard box with a sheet over it. And I saved every penny I could to pay down my debt and get that nest egg for a few years. And it's not fun, but if you delay the gratification for just a few years, you're going to put yourself in that good situation to set you up to make sure you're owning things and you're participating in not only the inflation on cost of living, but the asset inflation, because the elite want you to own nothing, but I want you to own everything. I know Jesse wants you to own everything, so you have to do that.
Carol, I wish kids today understood the unbridled joy that came with owning a 6 stereo, because everybody has a sweet speaker system that's the size of your phone today. But back in the day, you had to have a stereo system with the big speaker, and it was awesome. Anyway, go buy Carol's book.
And I'm going to make you a mixtape. I'm going to make you a mixtape because they don't know with their stereos. They can't make a mixtape. They can't you shuffle a bunch of digital things together and send it to somebody. So go buy a stereo, too, and make mixtapes.
That's right. Fellas, you want to own her heart? Make her a mixtape. Carol, thank you, ma'am. I appreciate you. All right. Let's talk. Let's talk about that timeshare you have. Everyone wants out right now. Everyone's looking for ways to cut costs. Credit card debts maxed out, savings accounts emptying, and people are just trying to find ways to cut costs. I know you want to dump that timeshare. Special fees, annual fees, it's friggin' awful. But they've told you you're not allowed out. Call Lone Star Transfer and let them get you out. Lone Star Transfer will get you legally and permanently out of your timeshare. 99% of the time they're successful. This is a family business. They have an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau for a reason. Call them, 844-310-2646. We'll be back. Just another reminder for every single person watching, there is no such thing as a secular school. That is not a thing that exists anywhere. It's not a thing that can exist. Your school, the school Aiden, Jaden, and Braden go to, it will have a religion, I promise you. You best make sure it's yours. And I love what we've been seeing lately. Some states, two states, are getting the Ten Commandments back into the classroom, Oklahoma being one of those states. And joining me now, Ryan Walters, superintendent for the state of Oklahoma. Ryan, it's your state, your schools. Why don't you tell everyone what you did and why you did it?
Thank you, Jesse. Really appreciate you having me on. You know, what we did is, you know, we look back at what's going on in the classroom, and what's been clear to me is we've had state-sponsored atheism. I mean, they have literally gutted any reference to the Bible, any reference to Bible verses, scripture in our history, and we're not going to tolerate it here in Oklahoma. So what we've done is we went back in and said, look, every class, you're going to have the most read book in American history. You're going to have the most cited book in American history, the most purchased book in American history in your classroom. We're going to put a Bible back in every classroom, and teachers will teach from the Bible. How else do you teach? Why'd the pilgrims come to America? How do you teach that without the Bible? How do you teach that our rights come from God without any concept of what the Bible says? The historical precedents, the left can be offended. They can be mad. They cannot like it. But they cannot rewrite our history. And what we're doing to our kids is unbelievable, that we have lied to them about the influence the Bible had on American history. We will teach it in Oklahoma. We're proud to be the first state to put it back in every classroom.
I love that you did it. Where did the idea for this come from? Because so many people woke up and were stunned. I woke up and cheered, but it's not something that has been done, sadly, for a very long time. Why this? Why now?
Yeah, you know, we've been going over for about a year now, looking at our social studies standards to see how we can improve them. And we had religious leaders reach out to us and go, hey, what's going on in our history classes where they never mention the Ten Commandments? And, you know, when they're talking about law and where law came from, they don't talk about the Bible when they're discussing. You have presidential speeches. I mean, even Republican, Democrat, doesn't matter. Nearly every president is routinely citing Bible verses. You have folks that were constantly referencing the Bible. And so we had groups to reach out to us and said, look, why isn't this being referenced in a classroom? I said, that's a really great question. So we begin to do a deep dive, and it's clear to us that our kids aren't learning our history because the radical left, the teachers union, has said, you know what, you can talk about any other influence you want, but you can't mention the Bible. And they have just used left-wing attorneys to target any teacher that references a scripture or Bible verse. And they have just, you know, either intentionally on some cases, or then in some, they've intimidated teachers into pulling them out of the classroom. And frankly, it is academic malpractice to teach a history class about American history and not be talking about the Bible and its historical context.
That is a fact. I do wonder why people like Becky Pringle of the NEA, National Education Association, I do wonder why she wouldn't want the Ten Commandments. Anyway, this is Becky Pringle.
We can do this work. We must do this work. We get to do this work. We will do this work because our students are depending on us to win all the things. NEA, we have to win all the things. All the things. All waiting on us to win all the things. Keep going, NEA. To preserve our democracy, we must win all the things. Delegates, we won't go back. We will keep going forward because we are the NEA. We are the NEA. We are the NEA. And that's what we do.
Ryan, is it the job of the public education system to, how'd she put it, preserve democracy?
Look, you know, it's amazing to me. By the way, you'll love this, Jesse. Last year, I took her little video that she did last year at the conference, and I sent it out, made it public, sent it out to all the teachers and the teachers union. Go, this is an Oklahoma values, guys. And we had a drastic downgrade in the amount of folks signed up to the teachers union because they also, in red states, they lie about this. She just told you who she is. And it's all about power and money and pushing an ideology for them. They couldn't care less about student test scores. They couldn't care less about understanding our history. They want to lie about our history, make kids hate this country, turn kids on their own family. And again, they are about power and money. I mean, she's very clear, isn't it? It's about winning. And winning for them is to have the ultimate power and control over families and society and continue to enrich themselves by taking money out of every teacher's pocket in the country. And they'll stop at nothing to attend their Marxist goals. And again, at their own conference, they're pretty upfront about it.
How do we change the government school system? Look, I would be honest, if it was up to me, we wouldn't have one, but we do have one. It's part of American culture now. But how do we change it into something where kids can learn to read and write and not, as you just say, learn to hate their country and their parents and everything that's normal?
Yeah, I mean, you have to come in, and this is what we've done in Oklahoma, at a very aggressive agenda. I came into an agency that I came in and fired 130 people. I was like, look, we don't need an agency this big in education. There's no reason for it. We're trying to get power back to the families. And frankly, we don't need a federal Department of Education at all. The founders would be mortified to learn that we have a federal Department of Education. That needs to be abolished. Power should be returned completely to the states in education, and the states should do what we do. We give as much power, all the power, to the families. You choose the school, you choose the curriculum, and frankly, you hold the schools accountable. We will make the schools transparent with every dollar they spend, with every piece of curriculum they have, and we will absolutely hold people accountable who push an agenda, a left-wing agenda on your kids. And Jesse, I want to point this out as well. In Oklahoma, we say, listen, we're not just passing a law here or a law there, and you know, you do what you want. I am pulling the certificates of teachers who break our critical race theory law, who push transgender ideology on kids. We have threatened the entire accreditation of two school districts that tried us by going ahead and pushing radical left-wing ideology that's against the law too. And we said, hey, you won't be a school district anymore if you continue to do this. You have to have teeth to these measures. The left is willing, there's nothing they're not willing to do to indoctrinate your kids, because for them, it's all about that next election and getting power. And they know if they control the youth, they control that. So you have to be very aggressive. You have to have a very aggressive agenda to go in, gut the teachers' unions, get them out of the schools, empower parents, and then hold those individuals accountable that are left-wing activists masquerading as teachers.
Gosh, Ryan Walters, it's everything I can do not to stand up and cheer right now. That was freaking awesome. Exact kind of mentality we have. Thank you for what you're doing. Very much, very much appreciate you. That was awesome. That's the kind of mentality we have. Did you hear what he said? Teeth. That's what we need. Go in and start firing people. Make some enemies. All right. We're not quite done. We'll be back. All right. It is time to lighten the mood. You know, I've been on a runaway boat before. Wasn't my fault. It was some kind of busted up old boat we had rented. And all of a sudden, the throttle just maxed out, even though I hadn't touched anything, and the throttle wouldn't work. I couldn't do anything, couldn't shut it off. Even the emergency shut off didn't work. It was a nightmare. We almost died, almost killed some other people. Did you know that? Tell you what, this teen jumped from a jet ski onto a runaway boat. This took some guts here. See you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast.